ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
I got a bone to pick with D'Amico Ryans. Love you. Think you're a great leader. Think you've been a great culture. Think you're a good defensive play caller. But you absolutely have to travel your corners. You must travel your corners, because by not traveling your corners, the opposing offensive coordinator, any time that they want, and they won't do it the entire game, but they're going to do it in critical, must-have situations. They're going to line up a receiver that they really like against your lesser corners. And we know that of the three corners for the Houston Texans, the lesser one is Jalen Petrie. So there were many times in yesterday's game where Jalen Petrie was being picked on. The final touchdown on the final drive for the Jets, Devontae Adams in the slot. Who is defending him? It's Jalen Petrie. Garrett Wilson, his first touchdown. Now, it was a great play by Garrett Wilson. I actually thought Jalen Petrie had pretty good coverage there. But, like, you go back to last season, Amari Cooper, the first time they played in the regular season, line him up opposite of Derek Stingley, and he goes off. What adjustment did D'Amico make in the playoffs? He traveled Derek Stingley. You have to travel your corners, especially when you're playing teams that have two good receivers. Because what they're going to do, they're going to put one of the receivers that they like the most in that specific play in the slot. They're going to force Jalen Petrie to defend that. If you see man-to-man coverage, Jalen Petrie is losing that matchup more times than he's not.
I said this yesterday, and I was harping on it, and I don't think enough people realized how serious I was about the fact that I wanted Stingley all over Devontae Adams, because I felt like of the two receivers, and because your offensive coordinator on the field, Rodgers, did exactly what happened specifically on the two plays where Devontae exposed Petrie and on one play, even Lassiter. The fact is those two guys have chemistry. When Rodgers sees that matchup, he is going to go to it, and even if a different play is called, he's going to audible out of it to expose it, and he did, and it worked. And that is why I was like, you want a guy that has a little bit more games under his belt in Stingley to travel with a guy like Devontae Adams. You can live with the younger guy because Wilson's already had some issues in terms of getting on the same page with Rodgers. And that's more with his athleticism too, where I don't mind having one of the other guys on him, especially if it's Lassiter. But overall, I tried to make people aware of it yesterday, and then it came to fruition last night. Rodgers flat out on that last play to Adams, knew exactly what he wanted, got it, called it, audibled out of it, and drilled it.
I would rather Stingley go up against Garrett Wilson, but I don't really care. Like, if you have Stingley on Wilson or Devontae Adams, okay. Like, that's your best corner on one of their two best receivers. And you could argue which one's better at this stage. And it might be play-specific. It might be where they're lining up specifically. So it might change based on the play. But Stingley needs to be on one of those two guys. And then the one guy that Stingley's not on, then Kamari Lassiter needs to be on the other guy. Well, they're lined up in the slot. Who cares? Who cares? Who do you want defending Devontae Adams on that play yesterday? Do you want it to be Derek Stingley? Do you want it to be Kamari Lassiter? Or do you want it to be Jalen Petrie? You pick the less of the three evils, and you're picking Jalen Petrie. They were lining up Garrett Wilson in the slot the entire game.
Sure.
Who do you want to be lined up against Garrett Wilson in man-to-man coverage? Do you want it to be Derek Stingley, Kamari Lassiter, or Jalen Petrie? So if you're going to play Jalen Petrie at nickel, and you're playing man-to-man because you have to sometimes in the NFL. Yes, D'Amico likes to play zone, but he's going to be forced to play man-to-man at times. You better be traveling your corner. Well, we don't like to do it because it shows when we're doing man-to-man. Well, then disguise it from time to time. Try to force the offenses to not know where you're going by maybe sometimes Stingley lines up in the slot whenever you're going to a zone defense. So I'm not a huge fan of that. And like, people were blaming the call yesterday on that final possession for the Jets. It was 3rd and 3. I don't mind the call specifically, because you do have to sell out to stop the run. Like, if you don't stop the Jets there and they get the first down, the game's over. Right. And they're probably going to go for it on 4th down. I thought it was 4 down territory there. So I don't so much mind the call by D'Amico sending the extra rushers. What I really have a trouble with is that you're not traveling your best corners against their best receivers, because it's going to put you in a mismatch whenever Jalen Petrie's covering whoever's in the slot, because these other OCs, and like this New York Jets play caller is calling plays for the first time. Like, he just barely got the job 2 weeks ago. I think we could figure it out. Okay, if we know that Jalen Petrie's going to be in the slot, what am I going to do with Garrett Wilson or Devontae Adams? I'm going to put one of those guys in the slot.
And you saw it multiple times that the OC called in a specific play, and then Rodgers audibled out and moved his receivers so that he could get that matchup anyway. So it even did, it really didn't matter what play was called out of the huddle. He absolutely got to the line of scrimmage, and every chance he got, he shifted his receivers to get the matchup that he wanted, and then he went, more times than not, he went to it.
Yeah, I didn't even think about it from, like, the veteran quarterback point of view. Like, you have Aaron Rodgers back there. Huh, okay. This guy's savvy. This guy's been around the block a time or two. This guy really likes Devontae Adams. I think he's got a growing bond with Garrett Wilson. Texans certainly helped that cause a little bit. Okay, I see the guy we want to pick on there. Hey, Wilson, why don't you go line up in the slot right there, because they're about to play man-to-man. Mismatch!
Sometimes it was just verbal, and you could see him legitimately, demonstratively, just taking his arms and moving guys around to say, I want you there, and didn't even try to sugarcoat it. I'm going there.
Yep. 3rd and 3. We know we're going to get manned because the Texans have to sell out for the run. Hey, Devontae, go line up across Jalen Petrie, run a go route. We're going to hit you because you're going to burn him within the first 3 steps. Jalen Petrie's a liability in man coverage. And if D'Amico Ryans is not willing to travel his corners against the top receivers on the opposing team, that's going to put their defense at a huge disadvantage.
You're right. It happened last year with Cooper. We've been harping on this for weeks now. And the fact that as good as Petrie can be in the box, and as good as he is as a thumper coming up and hitting people and wreaking havoc behind the line of scrimmage, he can be a liability in coverage. And if you're not going to change and you're not going to get a little bit more flexible in terms of how you really want to play to kind of prevent getting exposed, you're going to continue to get exposed. Because more times than not, teams have 2 capable receivers, and one of them's going to end up with Petrie in front of them.
Yeah, like you might not see as good a receivers as you're going to see, like, as a tandem that you saw yesterday.
Detroit's going to throw some good ones at you.
Detroit will. Well, I mean, name Detroit's 2nd-best receiver.
Well, he's out now. I think this is the 2nd game of the suspension.
That's true.
If it's not, then you could do the exact same thing with Williams and St. Brown.
It's an aside conversation, because a lot of the really good teams you play are going to have good receivers. But Garrett Wilson and Devontae Adams are about, well, they're up there of the top tandems in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Like, there's not many that are better. Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, you'll throw into that conversation. Miami with Tyreek and Waddle, although Waddle's been bad this year.
He has been.
Maybe because of Tua, though. Yeah. I mean, the Texans, whenever they had Diggs, was pretty good, too. Nico
Cincinnati.
Diggs. I don't really mind Nico Dell. I think that's pretty good, too. Cincinnati has a really good one. I'm blanking on somebody else that's really stinking good. I don't mind Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. Addison hasn't been good this year, though.
No.
And, like, he's been a problem a little bit, too. He's, like, complaining and stuff, which is not great. You don't like to see that from your 2nd-best receiver. Puka and Cooper Kupp, underrated one. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. We do got to get to some positives. Were there any positives from yesterday's game? We got to be fair. We talk about negatives when they win. We got to talk about positives when they lose. 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
This is our Mailbag Monday.
It is.
I feel like we should be answering some questions here. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. Any positives from last night? We'll get to that in a moment. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Julian Edelman, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up, Julian? Julian?
Hey, what's going on?
There you are.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, long time listening to you guys. Love what y'all do. Love the show. Love listening every day after work. Positive out of it, man. Other than Joe Mixon, I don't really see much positive out of the game. Also, initially want to call you guys because I know you mentioned about a couple plays referring to Jalen Petrie. I believe you mentioned about him getting riding up pretty bad against Devontae Adams, and then that touchdown against Garrett Wilson earlier in the game. I believe the one that he got riled up on against Devontae Adams is actually a Lassiter. And also, I still don't believe that was a catch by Garrett Wilson right there at the back of the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, man, positive is really just Joe Mixon. I was still pretty bummed that they, you know, like you said, it was like several, only like a couple carries in the 2nd half. Other than that, positive. Defense looked great, in my opinion. holding them back. It was just offensively, we just kept on. It was became a punch fest. But other than that, is there any free agents, offensive linemen, anybody that the Texans could possibly target before the trade deadline? Thank you.
Appreciate the call, Julian. Yeah, we mentioned some of them in terms of just starting from last, going backwards. That there are some guys out there that Nate Davis is with the Bears. Scherf, is it?
I'm going to call him Sheriff if he comes to Houston.
Yeah, the lineman from Jacksonville. Baltimore has a surplus, but I don't think Baltimore wants to help you out. But
if they could rip you off, they would. If they could, give you an offensive lineman who has a sixth round grade, you give them a third, I bet you they'd do it.
Yeah, if they got a big draft pick out of it,
give them a haul. Yeah. They would do it. The three touchdowns that Rodgers threw yesterday. The first one was to Garrett Wilson. Petrie was defending. Petrie actually had pretty good coverage there. Kind of went for the interception. Maybe gambled. Should have gambled. But it was a well thrown ball, perfect spot. And then Wilson made an unbelievable one handed catch and then walked into the end zone. The second one to Wilson that might not have been caught wasn't called a catch on the field, got overturned to that. That was on Lassiter, just a jump ball to Lassiter. And then the final one on the final drive for the Jets was Davante Adams on a go, just burned Jalen Petrie. What positives do you have from yesterday's game, Blanker? 713-780-3776.
I think the three that really stand out to me from an individual standpoint, and he mentioned one of them, was Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon continues to be just a dog. I mean, he just continues to be the horse of this team. He shoulders the majority of the load. He's giving you offense when you can't find it in other areas in your passing game. He has been way better than advertised or people thought of coming in here. He is not over the hill. His jump cuts are ridiculous to me. So I would say just, and we can discuss them, but mine would be Joe Mixon. The fact that the demise of Tank Dell was great, grossly overrated, and the fact that Tank Dell was huge for you and, you know, over 100 yards, and he's still getting, you know, space and getting what he needs to do to help this passing game if CJ has time. And then kind of the unsung one for me was Autry. Autry, to me, was the guy that showed up when you needed him. Will got hurt. We were waiting, coming back from the Green Bay game, and we mentioned we hardly heard his name called except for one play. Didn't know if, you know, there was a couple whatever factors were in. You hope he could find it. He found it last night. He was a big help to you, especially after Will went down, and he was able to wreak some havoc in the backfield.
Yeah, I had Autry down too. Like, he shook off the rust. He eliminated all those questions if all of his performance was because it was enhanced by drug use. No, just kidding. No, he shook that off yesterday. He had two sacks. He was close to a couple more, too. He had a tackle, too, on a running play where he kind of chased down from the backside. So I liked what I saw from Autry. You can understand why they were, you know, had the allure to Danico Autry and bringing him in. Now, hopefully he doesn't start many games because I'm a little concerned about this Will Anderson injury. Has a history of ankles. He landed on it funny. It looked a lot like the Joe Mixon ankle, really. So I'm curious to see if he misses any games. Hopefully not. But I liked what I saw from Danico Autry. I agree with Julian Edelman. I liked the defense up until the fourth quarter. Now, I hated the defense in the fourth quarter, especially on that final drive. Get off the field! Get off the field! Get the football back! One possession game, 4-point game. Get off the field! Couldn't get off the field. So that kind of put a sour taste in my mouth when it came to the defense. So I'm willing to give you defense through the first three quarters, maybe even through the first three and a half quarters. But get off the field! Couldn't do that. Mixon, I mean, you can nitpick Mixon first half versus second half because he only had 15 yards in the second half on 7 carries. How much of that was the offensive line? How much of that was Kenyon Green being out, who's a good run blocker? So he did run well. I mean, go over 100 yards, have a touchdown, too. You're going to be happy with what you get from Joe Mixon. Tank Dell, I had him down, too. I had somebody apologize to me yesterday for saying, hey, my bad. I've been arguing with him a while. He's like, oh, Tank Dell's not doing anything, which to his point, in terms of statistics, he was right. Like, Tank Dell's numbers have been down. My point was, well, why are Tank Dell's numbers down? It's not because he has lost a step or he's not the same player, and that's where the disagreement was. And I think Tank Dell did dispel that notion, oh, Tank Dell's washed or Tank Dell's had issues with a broken fibula. No, it's a fibula. Like, fibulas are not that big a deal. I had a broken fibula. Look at me. Just a, you know, perfect specimen. I can run as fast as I ever could, 4.440 back in my heyday. Also, I thought you saw some fire from Dalton Schultz. Like, he had it was Sauce Gardner, broke a tackle from Sauce Gardner, but could have easily went down. It could have been, like, maybe 3 weeks ago. Maybe he does go down there, fights for some extra yardage. I actually think that Dalton Schultz, look, if we're going to blast him whenever he's not playing well, I think he's had his best two games of the year these last 2 weeks, which comes at a good time because of the Stephon Diggs injury. So I actually liked what I saw from Schultz a little bit, too. So those are my positives.
So yeah, I think the big thing, too, is when you look at maybe the Jets made adjustments at halftime. They knew that they were getting home with their front four. So they realized the bigger thing was we got to contain Mixon. We're already wreaking havoc in their passing game. We can disrupt a whole hell of a lot more if we make adjustments. And then the Texans helped them out by kind of evading the run and just going away from the run when it was so successful anyway. So he only touched it seven more times regardless. But they also, I think, adjusted the way that they were covered the gaps in the defensive line.
Yeah. Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. Positives from the texters, 0783. Yes, a positive is the Jets player dropped the ball before the end zone. A bad play for a rookie. He hasn't had a whole lot of run. Malachi Corley, he finally gets a little bit of burn. He's going in for a walk-in touchdown. I don't understand why this is popular. Why do we see this so often where dudes try to pimp crossing the goal line and their way of pimping it, their bat flip is dropping the ball right when they cross the goal line? It's the weirdest thing to me. It's the weirdest flex.
Especially in this case, it was his first ever NFL touchdown. You know he's going to want to keep the football. You know it's going to be a big deal. And yet you do something like that that negates the entire play. I mean, you have plenty enough time to celebrate and do your, what, fall, you do all the different, what, backflips and dives and falls into the end zone and all the things that you do to celebrate after you get to the back of the end zone. It's so befuddling to me as well. Like, what are you possibly to gain in starting your celebration at the half-inch line?
It's this modern football player that thinks it's cool to drop the football just as quickly as you can after passing the goal line. I think it's kind of like the bat flip. You home run, you bat flip it. You cross the goal line, you're trying to drop it as soon as you can. I don't understand it. I don't get it. It happens way too much. Like, run to the back of the end zone and hand it to the person in the front row, or like spike it. Like, it's so weird. Now, if you're a Texan, try to jump on the ball if you notice something like that. It was weird, too, because watching the broadcast, it's like, okay, it's clear that he dropped it. But we don't know whoever recovered it. I thought, like, as they were going to break, I thought the ball just laid there idly and that they were going to get the ball back to where it was dropped. So, like, I had no idea what happened to the football. And then when you come back, it's like, oh, it's just kind of casually rolling through the back of the end zone. It's a huge break for the Texans.
It was massive, too, because I had the same thought. It's like, well, what is the ruling if it just sits there unattended? I mean, is that a touchback? Or is that, like you said, do you just reset it on the one and negate the touchdown but give them another chance to get the 6 points? Because that one, just for if there's any doubt at all, and you see it all the time on the potential for laterals versus forward passes and things like that, the first thing the defense does is, hey, just for craps and giggles, I'm at least going to go over and make sure that I secure this thing with one hand and say, if it's in question, I got it. And no one did.
8924. I hope that guy never scores a touchdown in his career. That's kind of mean. Y'all remember which Texans player tossed the ball to the ref after a kickoff a few years ago? I don't remember his name. I want to say it was in the playoff game against the Bills, actually. He caught a ball in the back of the end zone and then just tossed it to the ref. But back then, you could do that. You could do that. It's like giving yourself up, and it was a touchback because there was some controversy on it, too.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. I remember being there, and it was like, oh, no, what just happened? And no one knows the rule. And I didn't know the rule at the time, but you could do that back then. It was a touchback. Now I think it's a little different with the new dynamic kickoff rule, whatever they're calling it. A couple of other positives. Running the rock, Joe Mixon's a one-man stampede. I like that, one-man stampede. Just put bullhorns on his helmet. That's Josh from Seabrook. Didn't run it as well in the second half as the first half, but if I'm Bobby Slowick, I would have kept giving him the football. And then 4128's mean. He says the Kenyon Green injury is a positive. That's not nice.
No. I mean, we don't want to wish injury on anybody. We've talked about this previously.
Well, if it's a quarterback that I'm playing against in the AFC Championship game, I don't mind if he gets hurt.
Right, but we talked about it with Deshaun and the fact that, when you're cheering and the fact that he got hurt in Cleveland, we get you don't like him. I just don't – I don't want to take it to the level of hoping someone gets hurt.
Yeah, well, there are times I hope people get hurt. I wouldn't necessarily celebrate. Like, I would keep it internal, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wouldn't, like, give him a standing ovation. Lamar Jackson breaks his leg in the first quarter of the AFC Championship game against the Texans. I'm not standing up, let's go.
No,
I would just
down,
keep it inside. I'd be like, oh, okay, he's hurt. Like, maybe, like, a little bit of a grin on my face. Maybe something like that. But I wouldn't celebrate. Wouldn't stand up.
Texans kick returner weirdness was in the Bills playoff game in 2019. It was DeAndre Carter.
I could see his body. I just couldn't remember his name.
I was doing the same thing. I was like, who's the kicker?
Because he caught it like in the very back of the end zone and just like kind of tossed it to the white hat, right?
Yeah.
Are you watching the play?
No, but I can right now.
No, it's okay. I wonder.
Didn't he wear number one?
No,
Carter?
I don't think so.
No? I think that was before receivers could wear one.
I thought, okay.
Yeah, I wonder what I can't remember what the rule was on that, but it was a touchback. They brought it out to I still think it was the 20 back then. It might have been the 25. I don't remember. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRNP listener line. Who said it? Sean's going to read us quotes that were said by ESPN 97.5 personalities, and then we guess who said it. We look to make it a winning streak today on Who Said It. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. It's now time for super producer Brian McDonald, a.k.a. Tremac.
I'm Groot.
To do his best to stump Joel and Jeremy.
Well, I'm stumped.
It's everyone's favorite segment.
Because everyone loves it.
Yeah, everyone loves it.
I know.
Right, exactly.
Yes. Yes.
Who said it?
He said it.
With the Killer Bees.
It was DeAndre Carter, Texter, that caught the ball in the back of the end zone and tossed it forward to the white hat. And then it landed in the end zone. Bills picked it up for what was ruled a touchdown, but then they later overturned it for some rule that I'm not quite sure they ruled it a touchback. But it was DeAndre Carter, in case you were, I don't know if you were asking us a trivia question or if you really wanted us to know. All right, who said it? Sean's going to read to us five quotes said by ESPN 97.5 personalities. We guess who said it. Sean, what is quote number one?
Quote number one, I can never forgive John Boy. I can never forgive the buzzer stuff. They're still idiots. They need to be tased and put into a casket and buried alive or bricked into a wall like something in Count of Monte Cristo. Or which one was it? Edgar Allan Poe, where you get bricked into a wall?
Lance?
I could see it either being Lance, John. Probably more Lance than John.
I really felt
But Lance. I could also see the G's.
The Edgar Allan Poe part, maybe Paul?
Yeah, but I don't know if he... I don't think Paul would question himself. Usually Paul nails his obscure, random knowledge things.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah, my first inclination was Lance.
Let's do it. Okay. Lance Zierlein.
I mean, I can never forgive John Boy.
That a boy.
And I can never forgive that buzzer stuff.
He's hot. Picking up right where he left off in October. 1-0.
Take it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
What do you mean, okay, all right?
Number two. I got into a fight because she was sitting with an iPhone I hadn't loaded up, so I started doing it for her, and the iPhone said, oh, you must update this and that. So it started taking longer, and I'm the one who got in trouble. I'm an IT guy, a plumber. I do everything. I'm pretty much an international gentleman of leisure.
Okay, it can't be Paul. I thought at first it could have been because he's like on a date, but now he's like starts talking about all the responsibilities of a husband. So you can rule out Paul.
You can rule out Dell. It's, man.
Loading up an iPhone. So I guess he was doing the update.
But I'm thinking, who calls themselves a plumber?
I don't know.
Joe?
I don't think Granada, he would.
Granada talks about other people fixing his plumbing problems. But I think it's between Joe and John.
But like maybe just to do the thing in the toilet, you know, that wouldn't be that difficult.
Don't do that on Twitch.
That's a good point.
Social team.
What did he call himself at the end? An
international gentleman of leisure.
International gentleman of leisure. See, I think I can rule out Joe there.
Yeah.
I think it's John or Lance.
Okay.
Which way do you lean?
Would he go back to back?
Of course
Lance?
He would. Who did this? You or Brian?
I did.
Oh, you did.
So then we get to learn a lot more about you.
We have zero information on you.
And your ability to be bushly.
So I don't know. I don't know if he would go back to back. Knowing Mapes.
I think he'd keep it on the up and up.
And how he looks like Hello Kitty.
What? Where'd that come from?
He looks like Roaring Kitty. My bad. Not Hello Kitty.
Hello Kitty's like both of my daughter's like favorite things. I'm like, how does he look like a little white cat?
That's my bad. He looks like Roaring Kitty of GameStop fame.
Say it one more time, please.
Yeah, please.
The entire thing?
Yes.
He's like, darn it.
From the beginning.
This is usually his nap time blinkers.
That's right.
I got into a fight because she was sitting with an iPhone. I hadn't loaded it up. So I started doing it for her. And the iPhone said, oh, you must update this and that. So it started taking longer, and I'm the one who got in trouble. I'm an IT guy, a plumber. I do everything. I'm pretty much an international gentleman of leisure.
I hear Lance.
Okay, let's do it. I hear it, too. I hear Lance, too.
Yeah.
Lance Zierlein.
Got into a fight.
Yeah.
Because she's been sitting there.
Yeah, I don't think John's doing a whole lot of plumbing.
No.
Or phone updates.
No, what if the Gucci tennis shoes get wet?
Yeah. Yeah.
Number three.
Congratulations on the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Again.
Number three. Get to know someone in United Group 1, 2, 3, 4. If you know someone in 1, you can go on with them.
You picked these yourself, huh?
Well, no, it's a weird way of to read it, like, straight. Okay. Get to know someone that's in United Group 1, 2, 3, 4. If you know someone in 1, you can go on with them. It's been done before, where you say, no, 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 we're traveling together. This is my significant other.
Huh.
I could see Lance again.
Yeah.
John, because John's flying back and forth from L.A.
Yeah.
And they were talking about, at one point, they were talking about, what should I watch while I'm flying back to Houston?
Is John flying commercial, though? Or is he flying first class? I mean, he's a Hall of Famer.
I mean, he's flying commercial. He's not flying private. I don't think
Well, I mean, is he flying, my bad. Is he flying coach or is he flying first class?
I think he'd still coach it.
Okay. So boarding group one would be a thing, then.
Yeah.
I think it's either John or Paul.
And Paul would look at the possibility of a random hookup out of it, too.
It's also the significant other thing's kind of weird, though. So, it's like, maybe you're traveling with a friend?
No, you sell it to the airline, like, this is my significant other, just because...
Oh, get to know somebody who's...
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so that you can get to the front of the line.
I think it's either Paul or John.
Yeah.
I really don't have a strong feeling on either one of them, though. Dell's not going to want to talk to people.
No.
Joe flies Spirit.
when JetBlue isn't an option?
It's not an option for Joe. It's too bougie.
Sean, what do you think? I'm leaning John.
Let's do it then. Hall of Famer John Granato.
Get to know somebody that's like the number.
Yes. We own him. All right, we got a chance.
B-Mac.
3-0. Let's go. Let's keep it going.
This is to cover the spread for me for the rest of the rest of these. Well, we're studying monkeys over here, and we would like funding. We would like a grant from the U.S. because we're thinking maybe typing monkeys could be the answer to this AI dilemma we're having. Nope. Turns out they can't do Shakespeare.
That's such a weird quote.
And you keep saying that, Jeremy, and you know where it came from?
Paul?
Nope.
Dell?
News of the Weird.
Oh.
And it came from News of the Weird this morning.
Oh, you heard it?
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Well, who said this?
And he just said, yeah.
I don't think he cares anymore.
No. So I got that part for you. Now I just got to remember who said it.
That's the game.
Of the two of them. Yes, of the two of them.
that's it. That's the exact idea.
John normally reads it. Lance talks about it.
So you think it's Lance?
I do.
Let's go for it.
Lance.
Well, we're studying monkeys over here.
Yeah. Let's go. This is a big one. We've never hit five and zero before.
We've never done a clean sweep, Mapes.
Yeah, Mapes would never be able to like show his face around here again.
Between that that's and the fine. Bad audio?
Oh! He said it's fine.
Next time, I'll just pick to do the morning show. Last one. And this, just for context, this is on the country Peru. Is that where the ayahuasca was? Egypt? Where in the world is Aaron Rodgers? I don't know, but wherever it is, there'll be drugs there.
Whew. This could be anybody.
Could be Dell.
Yeah, it could be Dell.
You know that Paul hates him.
Does he?
Paul hates Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Why?
Because he screwed Brady out of an MVP in his mind. amongst other things.
By the way, I have Brian McDonald looking over my shoulder.
Yeah,
I saw him casually trying not to pay attention, when I yelled, suck it, B-Mac, because we won again.
Well, he wanted to sit in this room during this, and I thought that would be too much pressure on me.
It would be, because you got to learn from the man that you talk about straight faces, and then you look at the way he plays this game. His poker face is off the chain.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He won't even blink his eyes.
Off the chain.
It is.
Do you want the quote one more time?
Yeah,
please.
That'd be great, John.
On the country Peru. Is that where the ayahuasca was? Egypt? Where in the world is Aaron Rodgers? I don't know, but wherever it is, there'll be drugs there.
I'm going to sit this one out. You've had the hot hand. I'm the point guard here.
How dare you?
Pass first. You've had the hot hand. Why would I get in the way of you?
Why?
The only person I would rule out is Joe.
I was going to say, would Joe?
I would rule out
Joe. He's asking, would he even be able to put Peru on the board?
I think he knows of Peru.
I mean... In that regard,
what an endorsement!
Yeah, but
I got issues.
It'd be silly for me to get in the way of being hot
stop
here. I'm being serious
because I really don't have a feel for this one.
This would be like Jordan's 63-point game, and then like Paxson taking the buzzer beater. Like that makes
no
sense.
They lost that game too.
No, they didn't.
The 63-point game?
No, the Paxton taking the buzzer.
Yeah, yeah, no, but the 63 against the Celtics.
So it's... Boy.
It's going to be like Alpi Shingun trying to take the buzzer beater over Jalen Green in crunch time.
Like third round league trying to take
Pollard. Would you? Can you see Dell saying it?
Oh, yeah, I could see Dell saying it. Yeah.
But Dell would... Maybe Dell would be more well-versed to know where Aaron Rodgers, what country Aaron Rodgers was that he was doing that?
I don't know, man. Like, that's a hard thing to know. Like, I don't know how many people actually know where Aaron Rodgers went to do all that.
Yeah.
To embrace darkness.
I'm gonna screw this one up after we're 4-0 just because I don't have a feel for it.
Yeah, better you than me, though.
Sweet. One more time, Paul. Mapes, please.
On Peru. Is that where the ayahuasca was? Egypt? Where in the world is Aaron Rodgers? I don't know, but wherever it is, there'll be drugs there.
I feel the cadence is Dell.
Do it.
Final answer.
Is that where the ayahuasca was, or is that Egypt?
Let's pause.
Where in the world is Aaron Rodgers?
I couldn't tell.
Yeah, I couldn't either because of the
was that
remote.
Today?
That was.
It was remote.
Yes.
That's crazy how different the sound is on that.
Yeah. Mapes got to win.
I'm a stickler.
On one of them.
I am a stickler for sound.
Yeah, I've heard.
Yeah.
Did he sound so much different?
Yeah, I almost thought it was Granato.
I almost thought it was a man for a second. I'm kidding.
Oh, wow.
I'm kidding. It's a joke. Ooh. It was a joke.
It's a joke or a joke?
It's a joke. 713-780-ESPN. Rockets had a big win last night while everyone was watching the tag. If the Rockets have a big win, no one's watching. Did it even happen? It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ocho, I really wish I care about the Rockets and the NBA in general, but the players in the game have changed too much for my liking. It's not a good product anymore. You think it's a good product in the NBA?
It's watered down. I don't think that it's what it used to be in a lot of different eras. I still think it can be entertaining, but yeah, I think it's watered down a bit.
I like watching the Rockets. I get some joy out of watching the Rockets play basketball. I DVR'd the game. Watched it this morning. What'd you make of the Rockets' win over Dallas? Huge win at Dallas, defending Western Conference champions, going the road, beat them. Did you ever trail in this game? Maybe early in the first, but you basically led from pillar to post, up 20 multiple times in this game.
Yeah, this was a really good win for the Rockets because when you looked at the schedule to start the year, it was loaded with some tough games to where I thought they might go 1-4, get two wins. But I thought that these games early on, as you're still trying to, you know, get things settled in for the year, were going to be a struggle. And this was one that I was really interested in seeing because on the road as well, I didn't know what they were going to be against a team that, you know, Western Conference champions of a year ago. And you look at it and you say, man, this was impressive. I mean, it wasn't just Jalen Green, but Jalen Green continues to be the guy that when the rubber hits the road in the biggest moments in the game, he can step up and make the plays. He's using his ability to get to the basket. But the other guys are stepping up, and it's a different guy from possession to possession. When Amen Thompson made the really tough, right from the baseline, rebound and short jump shot, Dylan Brooks making his plays and defensively still doing what he's been known to do, Jabari getting more involved in the offense. I think that the fact is they're still learning. They're still getting better. But you beat a really good basketball team that's been playing good basketball as well, unlike the Milwaukees and some of the teams that are stinking it up to start the year like Denver. Dallas has been playing good basketball, and you beat them from start to finish, and for a lot of the game, you were up 15 points.
This was this to me replaced the season opener against Charlotte, where that one was a game that you should have won. This was a game that you should have lost. So, and all the other games, the results, I kind of expected. Like, you're playing San Antonio on the second leg of a back-to-back. Like, I don't expect any team to win on the second leg of a back-to-back. So I had the Rockets starting 3-2. I just had them losing at Dallas and winning the opener against Charlotte. So I'm good with a 3-2 record. As far as yesterday's game, I thought Jalen Green was really good in the fourth quarter. I didn't think he had a very good game up until the fourth quarter. He wasn't shooting it all that well. Now, he's been far more active defensively this year. He's been getting in on the glass. He had 12 rebounds yesterday. When does Jalen Green give you 12 rebounds? So he's kind of becoming more than just a scorer, because because yesterday he didn't score a ton in the first three quarters, but then he turned it on. He scored 10 points in the final 7 minutes. Mm-hmm. When the Mavs cut it down to a 7-point game with 7 minutes to play, that's when Jalen Green's like, okay, it's time for me to put this team on my back. Because he didn't need to be the scorer yesterday. They were in cruise control. They were up 15 to 20 points. Largest lead was 20. They did it twice. It was always around, you know, 10, 15 points, really, for the majority of that game. And then all of a sudden, here comes Dallas. Here's the run that we expect him to go on. Here's a big shot. I believe it was by Luka. They cut it down to a 7-point game with 7 minutes to play. And then Jalen Green's like, okay, it's my turn. He scored the next 5 points, back-to-back buckets, gets to the line, makes a crazy shot, a crazy layup in the bucket, makes the free throw, scores 5 straight, and then extends that lead again. Scored 10 points in the final 7 minutes. So that was another example to me of Jalen Green, like, okay, whenever this team needs me is whenever I'm going to turn it on, which, again, speaks to the maturity that we've seen from Jalen Green so far this year.
I think the bigger picture, too, is that you weathered the storm, right? Because you knew they were going to make a run. And in the fourth quarter, they clearly did, and their two best players stepped up and really started to carry him. Kyrie was early. Luka was late. Then Luka hits the, like, 40-foot three to make it a 3-point game. And that's where a lot of times a young team folds up their tents and finds a way to, like, take a bad possession, screw it up, and then watch one slip through their fingers. Instead, as you mentioned, it was Jalen leading, but it was everybody else contributing along the way, and the guys that I mentioned coming through as well with key offensive rebounds, with putbacks, with finishing on the break after a good defensive play. And that's the sign of a team that's maturing before your eyes, and it becomes better and more entertaining basketball. Mm-hmm. It's not one thing to just say, I want to see these young kids get better and start to develop a little bit. It's when the team starts to take it to another level and you execute against a good team down the stretch in a tight game that you realize it's working.
Completely agree. But in those moments, whenever you have a team, especially a team of the caliber of the Mavs, that are making that run, and it's a critical juncture of the game, that's when you go to your best player.
You have to, yeah.
And they're going to Jalen Green. So, mm-hmm. like, this is a very big example in my mind that this is Jalen Green's team, and who is telling you that? Ime Udoka is telling you that. Because when Dallas is making the run, let's get the ball in the hands of Jalen Green, and let's let Jalen Green go make a play. He had 4 assists yesterday, could have easily been 7. If Jabari Smith knocked down a few threes, it would have very easily been a 7-assist game for Jalen Green and some others. Fred VanVleet was terrible, but the other example of how this is Jalen Green's team, late in the game, where's Alpi Şengün? He's on the bench.
I was just going to say
he's on
too.
The bench.
And it's twofold, right? Because it's interesting that Alpi got more money than Jalen did in more years. But at the same time, Jalen's the guy that's leading you, that is the guy that you're talking about, that it's going to go through and go to. And yet you've got Alpi, who's a defensive liability in several of the other games so far this season, to where they have to yank him off the floor in the fourth quarter for that. But then overall, when we start talking about the one thing that we need to see is that's on neither guy, is how Udoka and his staff is going to be able to use an offense in which there are times that you're going to run it through LP, there are times that you're going to run it through Jalen, but that you can get both involved to the level that they need to be at so that they can be successful. And right now in the fourth quarter, yeah, LP was on the floor more than he's been in the past in the fourth quarter, but this has been Jalen's ball to do whatever he wants with at that point in the game.
Yeah.
And that tells you all you need to know.
Yeah, I've loved what I've seen from Jalen Green. I think Alpi's actually had a pretty disappointing start to the season, but he's been solid. And I don't really subscribe to the notion either that they can't be on the same team. Was it Bill Simmons said that recently?
Simmons, yeah.
I did have that thought last year whenever Alpi was hurt and whenever Jalen Green went on his tear, whenever Alpi was hurt and the team was winning a bunch of games. I think that they can coexist. I think that, you know, Jalen Green needs to be the alpha.
They want to, too.
That absolutely matters. And then Alpi also has to be okay with, hey, late in the game, we need defensive stops, that you're going to be on the bench. And if he's okay with that, it can all work. Now, if he gets disgruntled and unhappy, then you might have an issue. Alpi got more money, but I think there's a really good chance that Jalen Green over the next 5 years of the contract, like he got the 3-year deal with the option on that final year, Alpi Şengün got 5 years. I think you can look at that 5-year window for Alpi Şengün, and I think that Jalen Green's got a very real chance to make more money in that 5-year window, even though he signed a shorter term deal.
It's definitely possible. And I think that what it comes down to is just, we all know that both of them have talent, but I think that you've seen already where Alpi has maximized what he has talent-wise for the most part. And he's got to get better on defense. But sometimes you can't – that's not talent. No matter what you learn, you don't have the foot speed and the athletic ability to do. We know Jalen's got all the athleticism in the world. The fact that he's now not just settling for the step-back three, and what you saw last night and what you've seen early in the season, is he understands that there is a time when you have to put it on the floor and go to the basket. You can draw fouls, get the free throw line, get the points without having to put it through the bucket on the play itself. and or because of your ability to hang and finish, you can draw contact and you can score over just about anybody to where as he matures and settles in, this is what we always wanted him to be, a player that's on the cusp of possibly being that guy. We just hadn't seen it until the start of the season.
Yeah, see, I didn't think he had a good shooting game yesterday.
Oh, he didn't.
I didn't think that he had his best offensive performance, and then it's like, oh, okay, crunch time, you're stepping up. Oh, okay, I look at your point total at the end of the game, and you had 23 on what I thought was not a great efficiency on the offensive end. Well, I didn't think you had a good shooting night, and I look at the box score, and oh, 23. And look, he was 9 for 21. That's not a great day of shooting. 3 for 8 from 3. You actually take that from Jalen Green. I thought he got to the line more. He only made 3 free throws, or he only went to the line 3 times. He made 2 of them. But this is what you've been hoping from Jalen Green, that whenever he's not having the shooting game that you want him to have, just find a way to get you 23. Like, that's what the top scorers in the NBA do. Like, if you pull up top 10 leading scorers in the NBA year by year, whatever year you want to pull up, and you just look at, like, the 8th leading scorer, you're like, okay, why is he the 8th leading scorer? Okay, his shooting percentage wasn't great this night, but still he found a way to give you 20. These guys give you 20 even whenever their shot's not falling. And that's what Jalen's got to do. But it's weird, though, because he didn't really get to the line yesterday.
No, but I'm saying there's other means to do it. If the jump shot's not falling, get to the basket. If the shot's not falling, get to the line. But at the end of the night, when the line score comes out, you're still in double digits. It's like Alpi, at least from his standpoint, is he's still giving you double doubles. He's still giving you things, especially in the first three quarters of the game, so that it isn't all the Jalen show and he gets tired out. And the bigger thing, too, for me is the veterans have become role players, but the veterans are filling their roles really well. Dylan Brooks is still defending. He's still, you know, going to get out on the break and finish. He can give you some effort plays and make the open jump shot. From Steven Adams' standpoint, what a huge lift he is, because he's not only that enforcer you always want, but from the way he screens, the big body defender that he can really kind of muscle somebody up, he does the little things and in freeing Jalen up so that the screen that he sets for Jalen gives him a really clean, open look. It's valuable when you start putting the pieces together and you see the team gel.
Yeah, Jalen Green shooting the ball a little bit better, scoring more consistently. I mean, it's still super early. It's only 5 games into the year, but he's only 22 years old. He's averaging 27.5 points a game. He's averaging 27.5 points a game. You want to guess his three-point shooting percentage so far through 5 games? Because I've always wanted him to be a 35% three-point shooter. Like, if he could be 35%, I can live with that. Now, I want him to be a little bit smarter about which shots he's taking. If he has nights where he's, you know, he is a streaky shooter. If he has nights where the shot's not falling, go to what you were talking about, get to the basket, get to the rim, get to the free throw line. I could live with 35% from Jalen Green. What do you think it is right now through 4 games or 5 games? 41.
Ooh.
41. If he shoots 40% from 3, he's going to average at least 25 a game. At least 25 a game.
Yeah, he just has the ability to get easy buckets and score enough that he will get 20 a game no matter what. But if he's shooting that percentage from 3, then he could be one of the top 5 to 10 scorers in the league.
And I don't think he'll shoot 40%. I think he's going to regress to the mean and shoot 35%, which, again, I'm willing to take. But I think sometimes we lose sight that the dude is 22 years old. Jaylen Brown, who is, you know, on the best basketball team in the NBA, who many people think, and he is, an all-star. He's going to get you 25 a game. Whenever he was 22 years old, he was averaging 13 points a game. Like, it takes some time at times. And it takes good coaching, which is why it's huge that Jalen Green has Ime Udoka now. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. DJ Big Anime covers the Texans for ESPN, ESPN.com. We'll chat with him on what went down in Jersey yesterday. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.